phone with us this evening, Senator Tanya Shoemaker, Republican Senator of Lawton. Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Well, great. I'm glad to have you on the phone tonight. Haven't had you on the show before, so I'm pleased that you could spend a few minutes with us tonight.
Thank you.
Wanted to talk to you about a very comprehensive set of bills that has been put forth by what you are one of five senators aimed at tackling senior abuse. This is a problem. It doesn't seem to get a lot of attention, but when it does, it kind of opens it up and exposes the layers that this problem like this covers. Why don't you try to, well, we'll start out by talking about what the bills are, and we'll go into some detail.
Well, the bills are elder abuse is becoming a growing problem. It's up 14% in 2010 from the year before. Some estimates say that nearly 80,000 Michiganians are victims of elder abuse. And elder abuse can be physical, it can also be emotional, or it can be financial harm. And oftentimes these go unreported or unrecognized. And so the set of bills that my Senate colleagues and I have introduced seek to tackle this. It seeks to set standards, coordinate between state and local authorities on alleged elder abuse. Moreover, it also increases the penalties to deter against further abuse. And, you know, there's just a special need that our seniors, you know, that are not, don't have their faculties like they used to. They need our help and authority and our guidance there.
When we are, is it just plain come down to it that these can be easy victims and folks take advantage of that?
Yeah, they can be easy victims. Sometimes, you know, you have relatives that they, you know, take their Social Security and, you know, don't treat them the best. And so there needs to be more coordinated standards with that. You also have other incidents where they are strangers. I had a case in my own hometown here where they walked an unscrupulous home repair shop, walked the gentleman down to the bank every week, took him out to coffee and a donut, and then took him over to the bank and withdrawed more money so that they could do home repairs. This went on for about a year. Finally, the bank teller kind of had her suspicions about it and so turned it over to the authorities. And pretty much by that time, these people had totally drained out this gentleman's savings account. And, you know, that's not good for him because now he has no money for his care as he continues to progress. It's not good for the taxpayer because then he goes on, you know, Medicaid if something should happen medically for him. And so we need to make sure that these types of events don't happen in the first place.
Well, and that's an important distinction that comes along, ma'am, that it's not just family members, it's not just strangers, and it either are reprehensible, but it can be either, which is equally disturbing.
That's correct. That's correct. And then also, in that case that I just mentioned, the gentleman, he voluntarily had himself declared that he needed a guardian and conservator. And at that point, then it was even more harder to prosecute the individuals because they said that, you know, he since he's been adjudged not legally competent, then, you know, there was all sorts of problems with that in terms of prosecuting them. And so some of the bills seek to allow, we give children special exemptions when they go to testify so that they don't feel in fear. And, you know, it's a scary situation to go testify. And so my bills kind of give the same protections that children are allowed to our vulnerable adults.
Well, and this is important for so many different reasons. And I'm wondering, included in it with the economy, and hopefully things are on the upswing at this point, but have we seen, and it's an editorial we, an increase in crimes against our elders with the economy in the state that it's in?
You know, I don't have any particular statistic except for anecdotal, and mm-hmm. I would say yes. Before this, I practiced law. And I would say that because the numbers have increased so dramatically, that it is probably the economy that is driving a lot of these people preying on these older adults. You know, they're easy targets, and it's just unfortunate. And so we need to do a lot, and these bills seek to address those problems.
Well, and they go across all different areas. One of the issues you speak of in these bills is the need to coordinate state and local authorities a little bit better.
Yes, that's correct. We have to have teams, and even when somebody, you know, unfortunately passes away, we should have more of kind of a team that goes in to make sure that, you know, they didn't die from being malnourished and everything. Also, one of the bills seeks to say that if somebody does abuse an elderly, vulnerable adult, that it was adjudicated later that they were of it was because of the abuse, they can't gain any financial motive from that. So kind of like we have those bills that if you kill somebody, you can't profit off their death.
And reporting the abuse, you kind of mentioned that a little bit earlier, too, and this will change some of the ways of reporting or make it easier to report abuse of any of the kinds that you mentioned before, physical, emotional, or financial.
It'll make it easier to report abuse, and it will certainly bring, you know, those people that do see people such as bank tellers on a daily basis, it will certainly make it kind of more noticeable that, you know, there is an obligation there to report abuse.
And what about whistleblower protection? How does that step into the bills?
And that's one of the other bills that happens is it does provide and enacts whistleblower type protections for employees, and then it also creates stricter penalties for elder abuse.
And where are these bills now?
These bills are in the Senate Family Services Committee. And I would expect we're going to be having work groups on them because they're actually not a new package of bills. They've been around this package of bills. They kind of keep getting modified every term, but they ran into obstacles each and every term. So I'm very hopeful that we're going to get all the stakeholders together in a room and say, you know, our vulnerable adults deserve this treatment from us. And so we're going to push this. One of the partner or the people that run the senior services for the state of Michigan, she's like, I want this as my Christmas present. So we're going to aim to have these out and onto the governor's desk by Christmas. But we're going to be having work groups over the summer to address some of some people's concerns over these in terms of mandates and everything, and kind of work together. So it's a great package of bills, and it seeks to help our vulnerable adults.
Well, and also having you know, stepped across the aisle a bit, you've got a Democrat on board as one of the five. Perhaps that will help, and maybe this is the time?
Yes, this is the time. Actually, we have two Democrats.
Oh,
we have
good.
Senator Beda, and we also have Senator Coleman Young. So they've stepped up to the plate and sponsored these. So I'm very hopeful that these get done.
Well, very good. I'm sorry, and thank you for that correction. I didn't have Senator Coleman Young in my information, so I appreciate that correction to get it accurate. I appreciate your time very much to go over this tonight with us, and we'll be following this through. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful night.
You as well. We've been